Welcome to the weekly update of the 25th of April 2024 of Israel and Christians Today. This week, the Jewish people celebrate Passover, commemorating the exodus from slavery in Egypt. Moses told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and God intervened at the appointed time to ensure the Hebrew people could escape and leave in order to go to the land that God was calling them to. And just as in Egypt 3,300 years ago or thereabouts, it seems God will need to intervene again if his people are really to live in freedom in the land that God has given them as an eternal possession. And he's given that land to them not for the purpose of possession, but in order that they will serve and worship him as the only true and living God, and to be a blessing and a light to the nations. Now, normally Pesach or Passover is a joyous time, but this year for most Israelis, it is a time of great anguish. Israel is under siege as never before. Like Pharaoh, Israel's enemies are keeping Israel captive. Those enemies include Iran, the revolutionary regime in Tehran, not the people of Iran, many of whom are opposed to their own regime, but this revolutionary, radical Islamist regime that since 1979 has been terrorizing its own people and the world. And its proxy, Hezbollah, and their allies like Qatar and Hamas. These are Israel's arch enemies. The war in Gaza was provoked by Hamas's invasion of Israel on the 7th of October. And let's not forget that Hamas was aided and abetted, supported and facilitated by Iran, Hezbollah, by Qatar and others. This war has been going on for 200 days and the end is not yet in sight. This is the longest war that Israel has ever fought. Hamas in Gaza still holds 129 hostages. It is not known how many of them are alive. 105 civilians were released from Hamas captivity during a week-long truce in late November last year. Four hostages were released prior to that. Three were rescued by Israeli troops. The bodies of 12 hostages have been recovered, including three mistakenly killed by Israeli military. And recently, the IDF confirmed the deaths of 34 of those held by Hamas, citing new intelligence and findings obtained by troops operating in the Gaza Strip. This is a tragic situation that should never have come into being and we should never accept. And the Israeli Defense Forces now have conducted all necessary preparations to take Gaza's southernmost city of Rafah and launch an operation to destroy the remaining Hamas battalions in the city and to rescue the remaining hostages. It could launch this operation at any moment as soon as it gets government approval, according to a senior Israeli defense official this week. Top Israeli security officials visited Egypt on Wednesday to coordinate the planned offensive. As soon as Israel makes a move, it will inevitably be immediately denounced by the international community for using excessive force and causing a humanitarian disaster. Israel will be accused of causing unnecessary massive Palestinian deaths. And yet, it is the international community that is causing the crisis by refusing to pressure Egypt to open its border to enable the Palestinians in southern Gaza to find safety from Israel's legitimate war against the genocidal Hamas regime. It is a scandal that we have allowed Egypt to keep the border with Gaza closed, and that it has played no role whatsoever in helping the Palestinians to get out of the way of the Hamas regime and allow Israel to complete its military campaign. And of course, Israel is fighting a war not just with Hamas, rather it is fighting a multi-front war with Iran and its proxies and allies. This became clearly official when Iran attacked Israel for the first time 2 weeks ago. Iran's most dangerous proxy from Israel's perspective is Hezbollah, which is primarily active in Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. The conflict with Hezbollah continues to escalate at the Lebanese border. Since October the 8th, Hezbollah and allied terror groups in Lebanon have attacked Israeli communities and military posts along the border on a daily basis with rockets, drones, anti-tank missiles, and other means. Israel has threatened to go to war to force Hezbollah away from the border if it does not retreat and continues to threaten northern Israeli communities. Some 70,000 Israelis have been evacuated from their homes in northern Israel to avoid the fighting. Let's not forget that Hezbollah has up to 150,000 missiles, rockets, ready aimed at Israel and could be launched at any moment in a massive attack. By comparison, the recent attack by Iran was 300 missiles and drones. This would be much, much bigger. So far, the skirmishes on the Lebanon border have resulted in 8 civilian deaths on the Israeli side, as well as the deaths of 11 IDF soldiers and reservists. There have been several attacks also from Syria, fortunately without any Israeli injuries. The IDF, Israeli Army, has announced that it has eliminated 6 Hezbollah brigade commanders and 30 battalion commanders in total. And it is estimated that Hezbollah has 50,000 to 100,000 troops and 10 to 15 brigade commanders ready and active. It has also built a vast network of tunnels in Lebanon, reported to be significantly more extensive than those built by Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So we have potentially a massive conflict emerging on Israel's northern border. Looking more broadly in the world, global hatred of the Jews is on the rise, and exponentially so. Anti-Israel sentiment is growing in the West. American Ivy League universities have become hotbeds of anti-Semitism. For 5 days now, pro-Palestinian anti-Israel groups have been encamped on Columbia University's campus in New York. Students at a growing number of U.S. colleges have gathered in protest encampments with a unified demand that their schools stop any collaboration with Israel. Let's not forget, many of these universities are heavily funded by Qatar and other Arab states. Is it any wonder that they have turned into these festering hotbeds of anti-Jewish sentiment? All of this is a continuation of a decades-long campaign against Israel and its policies that calls for the destruction of the Jewish state. I believe we are in very, very critical times for Israel, for the Jewish people, and obviously for the region and the world. All of this presents a massive threat to the existence of the State of Israel. Let us pray that the Almighty will intervene as He has done and as He has promised to do, to set His people free, and that He will work in the hearts and minds of the Jewish people around the world, that they may love and serve Him with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, that Israel will be the light to the nations that it is called to be. And it can only do that when it is free, when the Jewish people don't have to worry about defending themselves the whole time, but can devote themselves to being whom they are called to be. Let us pray also the enemies of Israel will be dispersed, that they will be destroyed, as the Egyptian army was destroyed in the Red Sea. And let us pray for the enemies of Israel, that they will turn from their ways. In many cases, they do not know what they're doing, but they must be resisted. And let us pray above all for the coming of Messiah, coming of the King who will reign over his people Jacob in the midst of Jacob in Jerusalem. We pray, Maranatha. This is the end of the weekly update.